Hello and welcome to Healing From Within. I am your host, Cheryl Glick, author of The Living Spirit, and as an energy healer and medium, in my new book, The Living Spirit, try to offer proof that consciousness survives physical death, and that as spiritual beings having a physical life experience, we can awaken to a clearer view of our own potential and change our choices for creating joyful lives, as we learn more about universal energy, and how, as our guest today, Dr. Jamie Turndorf, has observed in her new book, Love Never Dies, that it is possible to reconnect and make peace with the deceased. Hello, Dr. Turndorf.
Hello. So nice to see you.
Welcome, welcome. Jamie, you know, as listeners of Healing From Within are aware, each show offers ideas and views about universal energy, science, quantum physics, spirituality, religion, self-mastery of our emotions, and self-investigation, all in an effort to explore multidimensional healing and methods or ways to merge one's physical or outer life and our inner being for health, prosperity, and for developing into more civilized and more conscious human beings, for creating a worldwide community for peace and progress.
Nice.
Yeah, that's what we're trying
to
work towards. It's a big effort, and there will be big results when more of us can be on that wavelength. So today, in today's episode, Jamie, who is known to millions as Dr. Love through her website, Ask Dr. Love, which is an immensely popular relationship advice site since 1995, she's also the author of many books, including Kiss Your Fights Goodbye, and, of course, her newest book we'll be discussing today, Love Never Dies, which shares a really, really amazing story that I loved reading of her spiritual reconnection with her deceased husband, who was internationally renowned Jesuit priest, Emile Pinn. As a result of her personal experiences, she has created a new transdimensional grief therapy, which is a conflict resolution method to the world of death communication, which we will focus on in today's episode. She is also the host of Love Never Dies, which can be heard on Hay House Radio. Jamie, I often ask my guests to think back to a childhood memory or experience to recall if anything in that time showed the interests, values, work, and pursuits that would be important to them later on in life. Can you think back?
I know. My calling to connect souls, whether souls are living on the earth plane or some souls are in spirit and we're on earth plane, it all began when I was born 3 months early. And I spent the first 3 months of my life in a preemie nursery, and a psychic I know said that your decision, your mission to connect souls was born back then because you didn't want to see other people suffering the pain of disconnection that you felt spending the first 3 months of your life alone in that preemie nursery. So then also there was tremendous disconnection in my first family. My parents fought all the time, and you know, there was physical abuse and mental abuse that I suffered constantly. So then I was just already, I joke about it, I had earned an honorary PhD when I was still in diapers, and I'll spell that PEHD, you know, because I was still in diapers, right, being in my diapers. So that's pretty much my story.
All right, well, I believe that we come with a life plan and destiny, and the family we're born into and the situations we have are all there to give us opportunities for personal growth and to do what we can do later on. And you're doing it, so it's all good then. Now, you say as a result of your deceased husband's remarkable manifestations or visitations, you realize that we don't die and relationships don't end. Can you tell us some of those experiences?
Yeah, I'd love to. So I guess I should back up just to give some framework to the people who are listening. You know, when I was a young girl, I had a premonition of the guy that I was going to marry. I actually saw him fleshed out. I saw his face. I saw everything about him. So I just said, I'm going to wait until he appears. Very old-fashioned. I didn't date, and I just waited. And he appeared on the first day of my freshman year. I'd been shut out of all intro sociology classes. And the secretary said, well, go ask the department chair, Jean Pin, to see if he can find a place for you in one of the closed classes. Well, the minute I stepped into Jean's office, I had the first and only out-of-body experience in my life. I felt my soul shooting at high speed through a tunnel to the end of my life. And when I shot back into my body, I got this message, remember every aspect of this meeting. He's going to be everything to you one day. And then I forgot about it. Now, soon after meeting Jean, I found out that for most of his life, he had been one of the most famous Jesuit priests in history. He taught at the Vatican. He founded a movement called Liberation Theology, designed to fight church oppression from within. And he actually launched a public international fame when he opposed the Pope and the Catholic Church as they were trying to block the legalization of divorce. And he was a radical feminist Jesuit priest, and he didn't want to see women trapped in marriages where they were being abused. So he fought on the grounds of Liberation Theology, the movement he founded, and he fought the Pope, and he won. He got the divorce bill passed and changed the course of Italian history. And soon after the Pope granted him the dispensation of his vows so that he wouldn't be excommunicated, he left the Jesuit order and the priesthood, and he was recruited by Vassar College to be the chair of the Department of Sociology. Now, I have to say, I was raised in a totally different way. I was raised by two devout Jewish atheists. The only religion my parents practiced was religiously hating each other. They taught me not to believe in God, not to believe in the afterlife, and Jean and I never discussed religion.
And it looked like they also didn't want you to believe in love.
In love, exactly.
Or soul love.
Exactly. So in the senior year of my college education, I needed help with the statistical portion of my thesis, and I had heard, among other things, that Jean was a statistician, having founded the Vatican's first and only social research center. So I asked him if he would help me with the statistics, and even though he wasn't my advisor, he happily gave me his time, and within a couple of days, we knew. We were twins separated at birth, we were soulmates, and we were together, crazy for each other, for 27 years. In the last year of Jean's life, his physical life, we both started having a premonition that he was going to die of an accident. We just didn't know when or where. We went to Italy on our final summer vacation, and as we're sitting on the beach, his hand is up over his head as if to block the rays of the sun, and the next thing I know, a bee swoops down and stings his left hand at the exact location of Christ's stigmata, and I watch my beloved suffocate to death from the bee sting. Now, I can't even describe the trauma of having him ripped from me in this way. So I'm now back in the hotel room, and I'm hysterical. I'm shaking. I'm crying. I'm trembling. And the next thing I know, I feel that man's hand stroke the entire length of my spine. Now, I sit bolt upright. I look over my shoulder because I know what I felt. Now, he wasn't there physically, but he was there with me spiritually.
Now, let me ask you something. Did you have any idea of an afterlife?
No, I didn't have a belief in the afterlife or God. Jean, I never discussed religion.
Mm-hmm.
He just knew that I was very open, and he figured out he'd come through to me in this way. And so he did. And from that moment on, that man has been with me. And he has been offering to this day the most astonishing and over-the-top manifestations of his presence to prove to me that we don't die, and therefore our relationships are not meant to end in death.
Well,
and
Jane,
so,
yeah,
there it is.
Let me say this to you. You noticed from that experience,
yes,
you realized you couldn't only hear Gene, but you felt him. And later on, I believe you began to be aware of other spiritual beings.
Oh, very
that
soon.
Led you to develop a grief therapy method. So that
right.
great, I'm going to say to you that great shock of losing a great love in a very, very painful way opened up a channel for you
yes,
to
it
perceive.
Breaks you open. Now,
yes.
Jean knew that I was able, obviously, I was always able to do distance healings and hands-on healings, and I could talk to wild and domestic animals. And as I came to discover, I was already doing energetic communication, and that was just the preparation for the energetic communication that would continue between him and me after he left his body.
Yes, when we allow ourselves to open up to these possibilities, the progression, if we want to, it is a choice to be dedicated to this type of new knowledge. Some souls are very anxious and determined to communicate with loved ones, and certainly your husband was. After Twin Towers, I had just opened my Reiki energy healing practice, and I had a woman who lost her husband come to me for a reading and healing session. But the day before, I was at the boardwalk, and I was seated in meditation, and all of a sudden, I felt someone standing so close behind me that I was surprised and a little uncomfortable. And when I opened my eyes, I was, you know, swung, my eyes swung open, and nobody was there. So the next day when I was doing the reading for my client, she told me she had seen me at the beach, but I was meditating and she did not want to disturb me. So I told her how I felt someone come up fast behind me, and it scared me. And she said her husband always did that to people. So we concluded that he was so excited to be able to show her that he existed that he came in a day early. So it's a similar experience to you having such a sharp and immediate reaction from your beloved husband. And months had gone by before this woman approached me, because I think she was frightened to find out, you know, what he might have experienced or was thinking, or if he actually existed at all any longer. But these experiences for people who have no belief in an afterlife or the survival of our soul or energy or memories or personality after death, it's so expansive that it can really open up your heart and your mind to so many new possibilities. Now, Jamie, you already told us about your parents and the only religion that they believed in. And it seems so many people who enter the field of psychology or other mental health practices come from families that have so much dysfunction. So tell us how you believe that you found love.
So very often when people come from dysfunctional families, they repeat and recreate, you know, the dysfunction rather than finding love. But, you know, I had already done a great deal of work on myself, you know. As a shrink, I was always working on doing as much healing as I could. But what's so amazing is, you know, even in spite of all of Jean's incredible love for me, there was still, I tell this story in Love Never Dies, I explain that still my parents' mean and abusive voices lived in my head. And his love never really succeeded in penetrating all the fibers of my soul. And after he left his body, I was so desperate to heal this, you know, stop tearing myself down with those horrible voices of my parents. And I went to my professional group in the city with all the top analysts in the world, and, you know, I said their voices still resound in my head, and they all said the traditional party line, the therapy line, well, let our voices yell louder, let us just, you know, shut your parents down. That never worked. It didn't work. So I came home, and I was just begging Jean, please, you've got to help me, because their voices are tearing down my self-esteem and my self-love. Please, I'm begging you to help me. So all of a sudden, he appears to me in an incredible vision. He's surrounded in golden light. He takes my face in his hands. He turns my face toward him. And he says, listen, listen, listen to me, Jamie. Let my love enter you. And the most amazing thing happened in this moment. Because he was freed from the vessel of his body, suddenly all the love that he always felt for me could enter me unimpeded, because he was freed from the vessel of his body. His soul, his spirit just implanted itself in me.
Absolutely.
And in that moment, it was my self-love. I was healed, instantly healed. And so what I've discovered is, this is what part 3 of Love Never Dies is all about. I show you how to reconnect with your loved ones in spirit, because that is your fast track to self-love. And that's what we're here for, to perfect our ability to love ourselves and love others. And we can't love others if we don't first love ourselves. So by allowing ourselves to reconnect with our loved ones in spirit and allowing their love to fill every corner of our souls, we are suddenly now transformed into an overflowing well of love.
And that's what I was looking for. I was looking for love, that you were able to love your parents and forgive them and let go, and then their voices changed for you. They were no longer a hold on your heart, and you were free. So please tell us something more about your transdimensional grief therapy. I think this is a big part of it.
And it's a big part.
And if there are certain people who especially need to reconnect and stay connected.
Yeah, so the thing is, as a shrink, I know that the Western approach to grief therapy, grieve, let go, and move on, leaves the bereaved at a greater loss. So my method totally diverges from the Western approach. Instead, I show you how to say hello, not goodbye, without needing a medium or a channel or a psychic, because I explain we're all born with the innate ability to energetically communicate. We just need to learn how to tune to what I call the spirit channel in our brain.
Absolutely.
So in part two of Love Never Dies, I dispel all the false beliefs and all the false teachings that block people from tuning into their spirit channel. And I talk about the latest science that explains, as you said, the quantum physicists and the hologram methods and so on. I go into detail about how it's even possible. And really, it all boils down to energy, energetic communication. So in part three, I show you how to establish your own reconnection. So the first chapter in part three is how to create a state of receptivity. Because obviously spirits, being pure energy, can send signals to every part of our senses. So the more we're open, the more we're receptive, the more we're going to be able to perceive all the signs they send us, right?
Yeah.
And so I have a lot of really fun exercises in this chapter where I show you how to open up all your senses, you know, all using nature. I show you how to use twilight states to open up. That is the state just before you fall asleep or just before you wake up, just as you're awakening in the morning. I show you how to use nature to open up your receptivity. And then the next chapter in part three of Love Never Dies is how to recognize the signs. Because a lot of people don't even realize that they're getting signs all the time from their loved ones. They'll always say to me, oh, I'm not getting signs. And then I tick off all the signs, and they say to me invariably, oh, that happened, and this happened, and that happened. Because obviously the ways that spirit can influence the material world are infinite. You know, they can send you sounds and scents and physical sensations and drafts and chills and temperature changes.
And yeah, you can use electrical
oh my gosh,
items.
Electrical. I call that sending you signs through, I call those earthly props, because they are pure energy, so it's very easy for their energy to interrupt electronic devices. And I have lots of examples about how Jean does this and how my patients' family members in spirit do it. And, you know, here's a really great story that illustrates this point. I said to one of my patients, this is the anniversary week of Jean's bodily depart, and always on this week he drops coins on me. And they're always minted on the year he left his body. And the patient blinks and she says, you know what, Jamie, I can't even believe it. You see my cowboy boots here? She said, they were off my feet in the middle of my bedroom when I saw a coin careening from the ceiling out of thin air. It landed in the boot, and I got the message, it was for you. So she says, I didn't take it out. Let me give it to you now. I hear Jean at this moment saying to me, you'll see, when she takes it out of the boot, it was minted the year I left my body. She hands it to me, and so it was.
I know since your husband's death, you have been sharing this story with therapy clients and radio, web, and lecture audiences, despite being told by some of your professional peer group to be quiet. What I really want to know is, tell us the four ways people may react to the story of your being in contact with deceased. As a medium and intuitive, I have interacted with all these groups too, and I want our listeners to know that it's okay for people to experience this truth eventually in their own way and time. So what are the different ways people might react
Oh,
to these
well, one of
stories?
the common reactions is to feel like an orphan, right? Oh, this happens to you, but it never happens to me,
Yes.
right? So that I hear a lot. And of course, when I give them all the signs of spirit communication, they say, oh, well, I guess I'm not an orphan. That's a common
But
reaction.
they still want to get it themselves. They, you know, it's not real
Yes,
to them till
yes,
they
yes.
start to pick it up
Right.
themselves.
Now, another group is very relieved because they say, well, if a famous shrink and a public figure is having these experiences, I guess I'm not crazy. And then they open their eyes to the reality that they're getting signs all the time too, and they're able to come out of the shadows, right?
That's a good thing.
That
Yes.
happens a lot because I actually did the Coast to Coast show, and Love Never Dies became an overnight bestseller. And the next day, I got a call from a woman. She was weeping, and she said, I thought I was nuts, but when I heard you talk, I realized I'm not nuts. So this happens for a lot of people. Now, a lot, I also hear there's a reaction of fear. People will say, well, you're opening the door to the devil. Now, for these people, I have to explain that I've never experienced any of this kind of darkness or evil or any of this stuff. Our loved ones in spirit are our gatekeepers. They're here to watch over us and protect us. If there are any negative spirits, they stand and they protect us. But we also have something I call, spiritually
Or
called blocking.
Jamie, you know, if we ever feel that
You
there's
just
an
say no.
energy, yeah, you just say, you know,
That's what it's
you're
called
not
spirit. That's what I'm calling
invited.
spiritual call blocking. You don't want to take a call? Don't take the
Right,
call. Right?
absolutely.
So, the third group is what I said, my loved one never comes to me, and then I give them the examples. And the fourth group is those who just don't even believe in the afterlife. And that's fine too, because still, my dialoguing with the departed technique enables you to heal unfinished business because millions of people have unfinished business with those in spirit.
As far as that fourth group, you and I were part of that group. And
Yes.
well, look how
Yes.
far we have gone in
I
understanding
know.
our
Now, another
skepticism.
biggie is you can't get on with your life. I hear this. Well, how can you get on with your life if you're reconnecting with someone in spirit? So I always say, listen, would you say to a mother, you love your first child, well, you're not going to be able to get on with your life if you have a second child because you can't love a second child because our hearts are made to love, so we can love everybody who walks the earth and all those who walk in spirit. And in fact, when you reconnect with your loved ones in spirit, you do get on with your life because you're not so buried in grief. Love Never Dies shows you how to transform your grief to joy. So you're fully in your life in a joyful way. And you move on in a much more profound way by embracing those who are still in spirit.
Absolutely. You know, I often say to people who say, you know, I could only give all my attention and love to my family. And I say, well, we're a human family. We're meant to reach out and expand. We have so much love to limit it only
Yes,
to a
you can.
small group,
You
which
can.
many, many people do, is not reaching our full potential
No, you
as
can't.
human and spiritual beings. So I'm glad you just said that. Now, Jamie, you say the traditional Christian teachings leave the bereaved at an even greater loss.
Right.
I know what you mean by that, but would you tell us?
Yeah, so I found this out the hard way when the first night I was back from Italy, Jean was quoting something to me, right? I didn't know what it was. The next day I meet his priest to prepare the readings for the funeral. Never met the guy before because I didn't go to church. And I tell him Jean's speaking to me. So the priest raises his brow in obvious skepticism. But then when I tell him what Jean said, the priest goes white. He crosses himself and he says, "Dear God, Jamie, at first I did not believe that Jean was speaking to you, but I do now." He said, "You are quoting an obscure biblical passage from the Communion of Saints. Like I would know? I never read the Bible. Jean and I didn't
Right.
discuss religion." It took me a year to understand why Jean chose to quote that and only that passage to me. Remember, he was a religious pioneer in life, and he continues to be in the afterlife.
Yes,
The
absolutely.
Communion of Saints says that our loved ones in spirit are one with or in communion with God and the saints. So Jean was telling me the Bible is telling us that because our loved ones in spirit are one with God and the saints, and because we're supposed to stay in communication and communion with God and the saints, this means the Bible is telling us we should stay in communion and communication with our loved ones in spirit because they're one with God and the saints. So the point being that what we've been told about the afterlife is dead wrong.
Yes,
heaven
I agree.
Heaven is a state, not a place. Heaven is all around us. Heaven is here and now. And this means we are not supposed to live in an emotional wasteland separated from those we love, waiting until we die and enter heaven in order to reconnect with them. So the point is, reconnect now. Now, the second thing that the Christian teachings do to leave the bereaved at a greater loss is, I went back to John's priest and I told him about John's ongoing manifestations. And the priest said to me, listen, I want you to know, once he's in heaven, you won't hear from him anymore. So what? There are no cell towers in heaven. The signals from our cells are, I mean, these earthly conceptions are ridiculous. But
right,
it's just bothering
me,
bothering me all day, right? So I come home and I set the circle for my group. It's in my home office. Everybody's late except a new woman, doesn't know me, doesn't know Jean, doesn't know anything. And we go into my group room, I close the door, and 2 seconds later I hear ding ding. That's the chime of my front door when it opens. The burglar alarm makes a chime. So I hear now loud pounding footsteps, okay? And I say to her, gosh, somebody must have arrived at the wrong time, thinking it's an individual session time. Now I hear the pounding footsteps going in the opposite direction and ding ding. So I say, excuse me, I'm going to have to greet this person. Now, mind you, the distance from my group room to the front door is a few steps. You open the front door, the driveway is so long and the parking area is so far from the front door, there is no way somebody could have gotten to the front door, walked away, and driven off without my seeing him. I open the front door, there's nobody there. There's no car, there's nobody walking. So I come back and I say to my patient, there's nobody there. And she looks at me and she says, it was a spirit. So that was Jean's answer to the priest's statement. Oh, so I'm in heaven, you're not going to hear me anymore? Did you hear those footsteps?
So everything we're saying here is we've got to leap off the ledge of love, knowing that death ends a physical life but not a relationship.
Do you know that I say that all the time?
Yes,
leap off
and
the ledge?
We've got to love without fear or restriction, and many religious beliefs give us just too much of that. I want to thank you, Dr. Jamie Turndorf, author of Love Never Dies, for your courage, honesty, and wisdom in sharing a truth which, when known by all, will offer relief from so much fear and misaligned thinking about life, death, and offer the greatest possibilities for manifesting our full potential during the human life experience. For more information and to purchase this very intelligent, loving journey of extraordinary people, go to AskDrLove.com.
Sign up for my free newsletter and you will receive a free sample of Love Never Dies, the preface and the intro. This gets you started until the book arrives.
In summarizing today's episode of Healing From Within, we have explored a story of love, eternal life and energy, and the joy that exists in the stillness and faith of our connection to each other and to another dimension or reality of life. As Jamie wrote in response to Jean's priest, who told her, be prepared, when Jean enters heaven, his manifestations will stop, and you only find him again when you are reunited in heaven. Jamie says she was so bothered by what the priest had told her, but then heard Jean say, heaven is a state, Jamie, not a place. Where would I go? I have nowhere to go but to be with you. My full-time occupation is to love you. In the beauty of that expression of love from a most divine man, your husband, is what I have hoped to share in my new book, The Living Spirit, Answers for Healing and Infinite Love. And I say it in this way. It is not in the doing, but in the being of our magnificent soul, eternal energy, that we learn the true meaning of life. By listening to your heart and the lessons of your soul, you will indeed be aligned with the wisest communication and guidance system of all worlds. In following this wisdom, you will sustain your sense of balance, courage, integrity, and honesty, no matter what outside influences reach you. Remember you and remember me as one together in unity and love for all time in life, and yes, in death. I am Cheryl Glick, host of Healing From Within, and invite you to visit my website, CherylGlick.com, to hear leaders and authors share the most remarkable stories of life and truth in the hopes of awakening a new humanity to the possibilities of eternal love, health, prosperity, and cooperative efforts for a humanity that those above wish us to discover. Also go to webtalkradio.net and dreamvision7radio.com. Thank you.